Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then verse 33, the latter part of it. It says, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Since we commenced these studies on Bible truth for the family in the 21st century, we have considered a number of different aspects about marriage and the family. We have looked at the first marriage recorded in the Bible. We have noticed the main cause for marriage breakdowns. And then last week we considered the husband's duty towards his wife in the marriage relationship. In our studies last week, we emphasized three things. Number one, that the husband was to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Number two, that the husband was to live joyfully with his wife and not be bitter towards her. Number three, that the husband was never to leave his wife nor abandon her. Today, as we take up our studies again in this subject, I want to draw your attention to the wife's duty towards her husband in the marriage relationship. As we look at this subject this afternoon, I want to consider this subject under three headings. First of all, God's creation of the wife. Secondly, God's command to the wife. And thirdly, God's commendation of the wife. Now, when we come to consider the first point, there will be a little bit of repetition of things that we have said before. But it's needful in order to keep the continuity of the message today. And of course, repetition is not bad. And even if we have to look back on things we have already said, the Lord must have a purpose in it. And I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, even through his precious word this day. Because I believe that there's a word here, especially for the wives, but for each and every one of us. And I do pray that none of the wives will go out angry today. One of the first times I preached this message, there was a particular lady in the congregation, and she was very mad at what I had to say. And she called me, I think it was a male chauvinist. Well, I'm not a male chauvinist. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my wife, and she'll verify that. But we're just coming to consider what the Bible says. And that's all I'm going to do today. All I'm going to do is to show you, very simply, what the Bible teaches on this subject. And after all, the husbands had to listen last week, so surely the wives have to listen today. Now, what does the Bible teach us here about the wife's duty towards her husband? Well, first of all, I want you to keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 6, but I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 2 again. First of all, let us consider God's creation of the wife. Here in this chapter, we have the creation of the first woman. Eve was created directly by God on the sixth day of creation. Look with me there at chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. As I've said, in this chapter we have the creation of the first woman. The Bible tells us here that the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, And taking one of Adam's ribs, God created a wife for Adam. Genesis 2 verse 18 gives us the reason why God created a wife for Adam. It was so that she could be a helpmate for him. That's what verse 18 is drawing our attention to. And of course, a helpmate is a partner, a support, a co-worker. Therefore, right from the beginning of creation, we can see the wife's duty towards her husband. The wife's duty towards her husband is that she is a helpmate for him. In Genesis 2, God constitutes the first marriage in the Bible. The Lord himself brings the woman unto the man as a direct result of God realizing that it was not good for Adam to be alone. This, of course, took place before the fall, when Adam and Eve were in a state of perfection. But look what God said to Eve after the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Now, you'll know that at the beginning of Genesis chapter 3, that Eve disobeyed the command of God, and she took of the fruit and ate the fruit, and she gave it unto her husband, and of course Adam disobeyed the command of God as well, and because of this sin, then sin entered into the world. And we have there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 these words, underline them. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now listen to these words. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Therefore, at the beginning of creation, before the fall and immediately after the fall, God sets forth clearly the wife's duty towards her husband. The Lord in these two texts that we have read in the book of Genesis shows us clearly that the woman was made for the man and that the husband is the head of the home. God does this not because he wants to bring division in the home, but because he wants to bring order and stability into the home. And the responsibility of that order and stability within the home is placed upon the husband. And it can only be successfully carried out when the wife fulfills her duty towards her husband, being a helpmate and recognizing that he is the head of the home. Now we're going to see this a lot clearer just in a few moments. But it's important here that you see right from the beginning of time, the role of the wife and how God created the wife and why God created the wife. She was to be a helpmate for her husband. And of course, as indicated clearly in those verses and other verses that we're going to look at just in a moment, the wife was under subjection to her husband. Now, let us take a look at the second point. Turn back again to Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. And I want you to notice God's command to the wife. Now, we went through the first point fairly quickly there because we were noticing things that we had noticed before. But I want you to notice here that the command of God to the wife is a twofold command. Clearly taught here in Ephesians and the chapter 5. First of all, God commands the wife to submit to her husband. Now, there are five places in the New Testament where this command is set forth. Let me draw your attention to four of them at this time. First of all, take a look there at Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Here's God's command to wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Take a look at verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 5 and turn over to Colossians chapter 3. And there you will see the third reference. third command that we have to the Lord, to the wife. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Then if you want the fourth reference, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Here this time, Peter is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we read these words, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So there we have four references, four texts of scriptures in the New Testament, which clearly shows us the wife's duty towards her husband in regard to obedience. Now, the word submit here, it means to surrender oneself. It means to become subject unto another. Now here again we can see the wife's duty towards her husband. But what does this mean in practice? Well, it means that the husband has the final say. He should consult with his wife and take her views into account. He's not to be a dictator. Now, it's very important that I emphasize that. At the end of the day, if no agreement is reached, the husband has the final say. If there is a dispute which cannot be solved through much discussion and prayerful consideration, then the husband must make the decision and bear the responsibility before God for his decision. The wife must be in subjection to that decision. That is because there must be some structure in the home. That is God's way. There must be one head in a marriage in the home. And that head, of course, is the husband. If you take a look there at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, that's what it says. For the husband is the head of the wife. But it's very important for us to remember that God does not put this command in the Bible so that the husband can be a dictator. God puts this command in the Bible so that there can be order in the home. Therefore, not only is there a great responsibility placed upon the wife to be in submission unto her own husband, but there is also a greater responsibility placed upon the husband to make sure that he makes it easy for his wife to submit unto him by loving her in the way that we considered last week. Now, if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to get the recording of last week's message and listen to it. Because it's important that the husband carries out his duty towards his wife faithfully. If a wife has a husband that will love her and cherish her and look after her as Christ loved the church, then she will find it easy to be in subjection to such a man. This does not mean that the husband never takes into consideration the views of his wife or the opinion of his wife. Indeed, it is so important that the husband takes into consideration the views and the opinion of his wife. A godly husband will value, indeed, the opinion and the views of his wife. And it's so important for me to emphasize that. You see, it's vital that the roles go together. It's vital that the husband plays his part in the marriage and the wife then can play her part in the marriage relationship. You can see here from the teaching of God's word that the two go together. So here we have God's command for the wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, there's something else I want you to notice under this second point. Secondly, God commands the wife to reverence her husband. I wonder, did you notice the little phrase that I read at the end of verse 33? Take a look at it and underline it in your Bible. And it says this, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence here would indicate that the wife is to highly respect her husband, that she is to venerate him, and treat him as one who is deserving of all her love. The word reverence simply means to hold in the highest regard. That's what the word literally means. Thus here we have another extension of the wife's duty towards her husband. The wife who reverences her husband will not do anything or say anything that will bring shame to her husband. Turn over with me in the Bible just for a few moments to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then when you find 1 Timothy chapter 3, turn over to Titus chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, we read these words. Even so must their wives be grave. That word means responsible, not showy. And then it goes on to say, not slanderous, but sober, faithful in all things. And then in Titus 2, I want you to take a look there at verses 4 and 5. And it's important that you underline these words. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice there that Titus, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Titus, that the wife is it is emphasized that the wife also is to love her husband. Now we noticed last week how that the husband was to love his wife. Love his wife as Christ loved the church. Well, here, the wife is to love her husband. And then it goes on to say this, to be discreet. The wife is to be discreet. Chaste, that word chaste, it means modest. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And that, of course, is the fifth reference to obedience as far as the wife obedience towards her husband is concerned. You remember I said a few moments ago that there were five references in the New Testament. That's the fifth reference there. And then, why? Why has the wife to be discreet, chaste? Why has the wife to be obedient to their own husbands? Well, look at the rest of the verse. That the word of God be not blasphemed. So here we have God's direct command to the wives. It is not the command of the church. Let me emphasize again, it is not the command of the minister, nor of the session of the church. It is the command of God. To break it is to disobey the command of the Creator. Is it any wonder that the Bible says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones? Oh, I pray that even through God's precious word today, that the Lord will instruct us and teach us, and especially the wives in our congregation. But you can see here very simply and very clearly the word of God and what God's word teaches on this subject. Now we're living in a day and an age in this 21st century where, of course, the Bible is a closed book. And that's why many of the commands in the Bible are not heeded. Many of the instructions in God's word are not referred to, especially in this 21st century. Indeed, we live in a day when men and women don't even believe in marriage. They just live with each other. And of course, that's wrong, completely wrong, sinful. But if we want to adhere to what the Bible teaches, then we've got to consider what God's word declares on these issues. And I pray that the Lord will help us, especially those of us who are married, to seek to walk according to God's precious word and seek to live according to God's precious truth. So we have the creation of the wife, and we have God's command to the wife. Now there's something else I want to draw your attention to. Thirdly, I want you to notice God's commendation of the wife. And I want you to turn over to the Old Testament this time to a few verses. First of all, Proverbs chapter 18. There are three references in the book of Proverbs that I want to draw your attention to. It's verse 22, first of all, of Proverbs chapter 18. And here we are told, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord." You know that text of Scripture, I believe, is teaching that marrying in the will of God is a blessing. Is a blessing. And the truth is that there's no greater blessing than to marry in God's will. Now, you notice that I'm emphasizing marrying in God's will. And of course, we must seek to instruct young people in our congregation. And young people, it's so important that when you go to look for a wife or a husband, that you know the will of God and the mind of God in this matter. And that's why it's so important for young people to pray about God's will for a wife or for a husband. Now, we should be praying about God's will for everything in our lives. And we emphasize to the young people on a Friday night continually the importance of knowing God's will in every avenue of their lives. But you know, as far as getting married is concerned, this is one of those vital areas. You don't want to make a mistake here, because you'll have to live with that mistake for the rest of your life. Remember that. That's why it is vital that you know God's will for your life in this regard. But the Bible says that when you do find God's will, as far as a partner for life is concerned, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's a blessing from God. That's what the text of Scripture, and God here commands a good wife, a godly wife. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 14b. It says, "A prudent wife is from the Lord." Underline that. A wife, in other words, is a gift from God. I wonder, husband, do you ever, when you look at your wife, recognize that she's a gift from God? Do you? Because she is. Now, maybe there's times you don't think that she's a gift from God. Maybe there's times she doesn't think you're a gift from God either. But the truth is that the Bible emphasizes here that a prudent wife is from the Lord. And that's why we ought to love our wives, husbands, and that's why we ought to cherish our wives, and that's why we ought to take care of our wives. Look at Proverbs 31 verse 10. Look what it says there. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Here's God commanding the godly wife. Of course, I'm sure that you have read Proverbs 31 on many different occasions. We have there in that portion of Scripture at the end of that chapter God's commendation of a godly wife and also a godly mother as well. God here commands the godly wife. In Proverbs 31, not only do we see the wife's duty towards her husband, but we see how she is to conduct herself in the home, in the community, and before the Lord. Now, we haven't got the time this morning to go into all the details here, and we haven't got the time to read all of these verses that are set before us. But notice, first of all, how she's to conduct herself before her husband, the subject that we're dealing with. Look at verse 12. "She will do him," that's her husband, "the wife will do the husband good and not evil all the days of her life." Why is it any wonder that God commands a godly wife? She will do him good, do the husband good and not evil all the days of her life. And then in her home, look at verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She looks after her home. She instructs her children in the things of God. We're going to see more about that as these studies go on. But you can see there her duty towards her home. Oh, wife, don't neglect your home. Young Muller, don't neglect your home. Now, I know that we're living in this 21st century, and it's nearly at the situation now where both husband and wife need to be out working because of the economic situation that we're in. But don't neglect your home. And here we have the wife's duty not only towards her husband, but towards her home. And then in the community, she will be a testimony in the community. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. So not only is she being blessed in her home, but and not only is she being blessed in her marriage relationship with her husband, but a godly wife will also be blessed even in the community in which she lives. Others will see Christ in her. And of course, her duty towards the Lord. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If the husband and the wife faithfully carry out the instructions of God's word that are laid down in the Bible, my, what a blessing will be in the home. What a blessing there would be, will be in the marriage. You know, the truth is, if both husbands and wives carried out the instruction of God's word, there would be no marriage breakdowns. And there would be no divorce. That's the truth of the matter. Obviously, we're not living in a perfect world. But let me again emphasize these truths to the young people. Starting out in life. You're not married yet. Maybe you're planning to be married. You're not married yet, but make sure that the man you're marrying is in God's will. Make sure that the woman that you're marrying is the one for you. And when you do get married, turn to God's precious word and read God's word day by day together as husband and wife. And pray together. There's no saying those who pray together stay together. Maybe there's husbands and wives here, Christians, and you never pray together. You never take the Bible down and read it and pray with your partner. Well, you should. And so, and we're going to be saying more about that in the course of these studies, but it's so important that if we want God's blessing upon our homes, then we must follow the instruction of God's precious, precious truth. Isn't that a wonderful verse there at the end of Proverbs when it's speaking about the godly wife? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Young man, let me ask you a question. What do you look for when you're looking for a wife or looking for a girlfriend? You know, the Bible says beauty is vain. It's only skin deep, you know. And you need to be looking a little bit deeper when you're looking for a wife, looking for a husband. The woman that fears the Lord. The woman you're planning to marry, she fear the Lord. Does she love the Lord? That's the most important. That's the most important. Because remember this, whatever she looks like today, she's not going to be looking like it in 50 years' time. Or even less. But if she's godly, she'll always have that godliness about her. And of course, has to be said, the same has to be said about the man. He'll not be always the handsome looking man that you see now. No. Marriage is for life. Remember that, young person. And I pray that God's word will come afresh to our hearts. And that in our marriage relationship, that the Lord will be put first. Because when the Lord is put first, then everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. May God bless these few thoughts to your hearts today. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the word of God. And we ask thee, Lord, that you would come, Lord, and bless your word to our souls. Lord, we thank thee that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And we thank thee for our wives, Lord. O God, we praise thee for our wives that love thee. And Lord, we just pray today that you would come, Lord, and help us who are husbands to love them more and to respect them more. O God, we pray that you would defeat the devil. Lord, we're so conscious. We're so conscious, Lord, that the devil, his purpose is to divide the home, to break up Christian marriages. And Lord, we have seen it down through the years, and we're continuing to see it. Defeat the powers of hell. O God, we pray thee in these days, cover our homes and our marriages in the precious blood of the Lamb. We pray thee. And O God, we ask of thee that you would give, especially our young people. O God, we pray for our young people who are planning to get married, who are thinking about marrying in the future. O God, may they have the mind of Christ. May they know the mind of God. And O God, may we be willing not only to be hearers of thy word, but doers of thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.